Good day, everyone. This is Dr. Anke de Beer, and we are going to start a series with the name of The Digital Dilemma, Restoring Wholeness in Spirit, Soul, and Body. I've also written a book with my husband, Aldred de Beer, and the reason why we started this podcast is that there were so many requests after we have spoken at schools or at churches or at functions. And a lot of people came to me afterwards asking me, Anke, where do we get this information? Initially, this information was only in my head and in my heart and something that the Lord have dealt with me over the last 10 years. And that was also the reason initially why I started the first PhD degree on the subject of digital dilemma, specifically focusing on the effects of gaming and role-playing game on the spirit, soul, and body. So afterwards, I started speaking at schools and at functions. And like I said, so many people ask me, but where do I get this information? After that, I started writing a book called The Digital Dilemma, and that book only came out about 2 years ago. But still, the book was not available on all the platforms, and it was not available at all the bookshops, and there was still a huge request for this information. And that's why, by the grace of God, we decided to start this podcast. So welcome to episode one of the podcast on The Digital Dilemma, Restoring Wholeness in Spirit, Soul, and Body. So episode one will be an overview of digital safety, and episode one will also be just an introduction on what we can expect on the podcast to follow. So yes, we need to address this, and thank you for being on this episode. Thank you for listening, and it's really my heart to deal with you, my passion and my calling, and also what the Holy Spirit have shared with me with regards to this digital dilemma that we are currently facing. So why this title of The Digital Dilemma, and the reason why I started with the title of this dilemma that we're currently in, is especially our children, is because of the fact that we will have our digital devices and we will have cell phones and we will have tablets for the rest of our lives. The technology that we now have are here to stay, and it will only expand to become faster and bigger and more clever, like we see now with the AI that is coming in. So technology is here to stay. Unfortunately, with the influx of technology, we also see a massive rise, especially in teenagers. We see a rise in depression, we see a rise in anxiety, we see a rise in self-harm and suicidality. When we deal with gaming, we see a rise in aggression in the young children, a rise in ADHD. We also see this massive problem that children now have with being exposed to unwanted sexual content or pornography. So we have this rise in technology, and not everything on the technological platforms is harmful or wrong. So obviously I am aware of the fact that a lot of these technology advancements and devices are good, and we can use it for good, and I'm not going to debate that. My heart is to share the harms and the dangers with regards to our digital devices. So we need to talk about a couple of things. We need to say to each other that there is dangers and there is harms, and how do we navigate this dilemma of needing the technology and needing the platforms of the technology, needing the devices, but also how can the parents, especially the parents, protect children from the dangers on the digital world? You as an individual, how can you protect your heart and your mind with regards to excessive screen time or what you are looking at or the constant scrolling or whatever it is that you are battling with? Or then if you are in the education field and you are an educator, how can you then successfully navigate seeing children a lot online, maybe understanding that they need to use the digital devices for homework, for example, or research. So allowing the digital devices, but also understanding that children are hurting each other with the same device. So we need to outline the trends of increased technology use globally among youth. On this platform and on this podcast, we will describe some potential harms that children may encounter as they use technology. We need to review different actions parents can take to mitigate the risk of children's experiencing or participating in harms facilitated by technology. And then also we need recommended strategies parents can use or educators can use to increase their child's capability to operate online in a safe and healthy way. So this is really, really a mouthful, and that's why we are going to do this in a couple of episodes so that we can cover everything. So currently, what are the trends and stats that we are seeing with regards to children? So we see that 1 in 3 children uses the internet today that are under the age of 18. That globally, most devices are how children are most commonly accessing the internet. Smartphone ownership and use has become an absolute central part of a teenager's life across genders, ethnicities, and socioeconomic backgrounds. 95% of teenagers reporting that they own a smartphone or that they have access to one. Additionally, 45% of these teenagers report that they are online on a near constant basis. And then almost half, 49% of the 0 to 2 years old interact with smartphones, and that the Gen Z average around 9 hours of screen time a day. And these statistics and trends are absolutely horrific, and that we need to address that. We need to say to each other, but we cannot ignore this anymore. So very interesting is that in 2023, end of last year, they came out with the trends and statistics with regards to South Africa and where we are with regards to our screen time. They did a study from 43 nations, and South Africa tops the charts for average screen time consumption per day. That means that South Africa is the most internet addicted country in the world. And that is really, really a scary statistic. South Africa spend about 10 hours and 46 minutes of their screen on their screen per day. So on average, people spend about 44% of their waking hours looking at a screen. But in South Africa, this figure is closer to 70%. So in different countries in the world, we see that this same trend of children and teenagers absolutely migrating to a digital world and leaving the real world behind. But what is absolutely significant in other countries is that we see that the government is implementing rules and the government is implementing some regulations with regards to screen time. We see, for example, a country like the Netherlands have implemented that children are not allowed to take any digital device or any phones to the schools from the 1st of January 2024. So we see that country have already implemented that regulation. There is other countries in Europe that have the exact same regulation. China, for example, they have regulated that it is illegal for children to game after 8 o'clock at night. But yet, South Africa is the most internet-addicted country in the world, but there is no rules and no regulations with regards to screen time and how to protect children. That's why it is so important, it's vitally important, that parents will know what to do, that parents will understand a child's digital life, that you will understand also what the harms and the dangers is, how can you be on the lookout for the symptoms so that you can protect the children online, protect yourself maybe if you are the one who have excessive screen time, and then also if you are an educator, a teacher, a headmaster, that you can know exactly what to do and what to look out for. So there is a whole host of damaging side effects that are linked with too much screen time. During the course of this podcast and the episodes to follow, we are going to discuss hopefully all of them or a lot of them. My heart is with each and every episode to take a case study that I have seen or witnessed firsthand in the counseling room. My heart is to take the scenario of what is a real life situation and then unpack it in the episodes so that we can understand what is happening currently in South Africa, what is happening in the schools, what is happening in your child's mind or in your teenager's mind. And if you see the exact same symptoms or you can see that the same acting out or the same thing is happening to your child, that you can have some guidelines and understanding what is happening and how do I do this. So some of the damaging side effects that we see currently is the number one thing that I see a lot in the counseling room is sleep deprivation. About a week ago, I was asked to see a young man, he is 9 years old, with regards to acting out in class where there was complaints from the teacher's side that this boy is really rebellious, he is not paying attention, that he is bullying his fellow class students, fellow classmates. And that also I had some complaints about the parents saying that the aggression is quite high. So I called this young man out and he was sitting with me in the counseling room. And in my office, I have a nice, big, comfortable chair. And this boy just climbed up on that comfortable chair. And I quickly realized, but this boy is going to fall asleep. So I started talking with him, you know, what did he did the previous night. And he explained to me that he was sleeping in his grandparents' bedroom. So he just pulled in his mattress into his grandparents' bedroom and he literally waited for his grandmother and grandfather to fall asleep. So the moment they fall asleep, he took out his tablet, which he hid it under the pillow, and he was on his screen playing a game called Roblox. So Roblox is a very popular game that our youngsters are playing. So he was playing Roblox into the wee hours of the night. So I asked this boy, remember he's 9 years old. I asked him, so what time did you eventually go to bed? And he said to me he played Roblox until 2 o'clock in the morning. So yes, that's why this young man was so sleep deprived the next day that he just wanted to fall asleep on my couch. That's also why we see this behavioral problems is because of excessive screen time. So we will in one or two or three episodes, depending on how we unpack it, but we will specifically discuss gaming addiction and what the effects of gaming addiction is on the well-being of children. So we also see that there is a strong association between screen time and obesity in children aged 5 to 17. We see also a susceptibility to type 2 diabetes and then also a massive problem. But also this we can see with regards to children and also teachers will give an account of this that there is delayed learning, so that young children who watch excessive amount of TV or have excessive screen time experience difficulty picking up language, spelling, understanding, remembering, and that's also something that we will unpack later on. So the number one reason why a country like the Netherlands, for example, have decided to ban phones and screens and digital devices altogether is because of a specific aspect that we call a constant distraction. So because children are on their screens on a near constant basis, and that the moment that you switch from, say, doing your homework or studying and switch from concentrating on the worksheet in front of you and switch to a screen, for whatever reason it is, for maybe to answer a WhatsApp or to check your status on Instagram or to answer a call, doesn't matter, but that act of task switching to the screen, or even maybe switching to listen to music and then go back on focusing on the worksheet or the paper or the studying in front of you, it takes your brain an average of 23 minutes and 15 seconds to get back to deep focus. So every brief mental block can cause you to lose as much as 40% of your productive time. If you think that most of your time spent on your phone is done doing productive activities, studies have actually proven otherwise. And just also to share a story with you with regards to this, I was called out to the sick room at one specific school. I was there for the day doing counseling, and they called me out to the sick room saying that there's a girl, she's grade 10, and she just had a panic attack during class time, and they took her to the sick room and I went to see her there. So when I got to the sick room, I recognized this girl because she is one of the girls and one of the patients that's frequent in the counseling room. The reason why she came to the counseling room was initially because this girl was cutting herself and she was suffering from depression and she was suffering from anxiety. Also, she had struggles with interpersonal relationship. The relationship with the parents was not doing well. She was struggling with maintaining friendships at school. So altogether, this girl was not doing well. So I know from seeing her in the past that this girl especially had excessive screen time. So she was on her phone way, way, way too much. So I shared with her and I dealt with her the effects of too much screen time. But I don't think that she listened or that she realized just how devastating these consequences can be. So nonetheless, there she was lying on the sick bed. And I asked her what happened and why did she get the panic attack. She explained to me saying that she was studying the couple of days before and that morning that she had to write a science test. And they marked the science test afterwards and she failed the science test and she only got 20% for the science test. And she right there started having a panic attack for a couple of reasons, but also she did not know how to go home and tell her mom that she's failing science again. And also that, you know, all the host of other problems, now also having problems with her academics. So I asked her how the couple of days was before she studied. And she said, and she promised me, she said, "Mom, I did study. And I asked her to check on a screen time for me. And she opened up the phone and she go to the settings. And she said that her average screen time for the couple of days before was roughly about 7 to 8 hours a day. But she was very proud of herself saying that it actually came down from 10 hours a day. So yes, that was good that it came down from 10 hours a day. But still, 7 or 8 hours a day screen time is too much. So what she did study, but she multitasked her studying with being on a screen and listening to music. And if the statistics and the research is true, that it takes you an average of 23 minutes to get back to deep focus, then her studying actually meant nothing. She didn't retain the information, and like the research also said, that she have lost as much as 40% of her productive time. Her other study also indicated that your IQ dropped with almost 10 points when you multitask your screen with being productive or trying to concentrate. They actually gave it a new name saying it's not multitasking anymore, but it's task switching or milkshake multitasking because of the effects of the screen. So yes, that's why we need to understand that children cannot multitask their studying or their homework with their screens. If it is time for them to study or if it's time for them to do the homework, the best advice I can give you is to take the screens away completely so that they can concentrate 100% on the work in front of them. And only after they've studied or only after they've done their homework, they can get, say, a half an hour or an hour screen time. Also, remember to take away the screens altogether so that children will not have screens in the bedroom. And an hour and a half before bedtime, they should also not have screen time. But we will go into the science about that a little bit later. So I just want to end off with this scripture of today. And it says in Mark 4, verse 16, "In a similar ways, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves. but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So here we can see with the price of distractions that in the scripture of Mark 4 is that the word of God gets stolen. And the number one thing that I need to focus your attention on, at the end of the day, the Bible says it is idolatry. Our attention often runs to what's important to us. So distractions can reveal what we love. We are living currently through a crisis of attention, and we must understand that there is a war for our children. There is a war ongoing for the hearts of our children, for the minds of our children. And then because of this constant distractions, our minds and thoughts often become fragmented. I want to end off with a story once that had happened to me personally. I was doing my Bible study and it was my quiet time, and I also had my Bible with me I had my phone with me in the room. And while I was praying, I got a WhatsApp and this, you know, very familiar ping. And I stopped my prayer just to see who was WhatsApping me. So I got distracted, nah? Like I've read, yeah. And immediately the Holy Spirit dropped this thing into my spirit asking me, Anke, what are you doing? And I've realized just there and then that I was multitasking my prayer life and my quiet time with my phone. And I'd allowed to be distracted from prayer and from conversation with God with a WhatsApp, and immediately I repented and asking God to forgive me. So yes, for today's podcast, something that you can take home with you today is to understand where we are with regards to research, that currently South Africa is the most internet addicted country in the world. I want you to remember and understand what the price that we are paying because of this constant distraction, and also to understand what the Word of God is saying, that if we allow this, it is idolatry, and that there is a war ongoing for our souls and for our hearts. So thank you very much. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. It is really my honor to speak with you, to share my heart with you, and I invite you to come and listen to episode 2. You must have an amazing day. Goodbye.